Is the parashas Vayera. And the two psukim that interest us tonight, just two psukim, both contain the word tamin. Tamin. The word tamin. The word tamin is usually translated as whole, without a blemish. That's tamin. The first pasuk is in our parasha, the parasha Vayera. Parasha Vayera. Oh, you have to open the cheaper seats. Okay, so this is what the pasuk says. The pasuk says, "Vayhi Avram." Avram is still called Avram in this in Perek Yud Zayin. Ben Tishim Shana V'Teisha Shanim. He was 99 years old, and then it says, "Vayera Hashem El Avram." Vayera Hashem el Avram, that's the phrase that is in the first pasuk of the parasha. And what that pasuk means, according to most interpreters who lean to Kabbalistic interpretation, what that means is that Avram Avinu got to the level of Vayera. In other words, if you remember the Chumash, the entirety of the Chumash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to a variety of people. Right? Some good, some less good. Some which we would consider part of the family of Jews, and some who were certainly not part of the family that was being built in the book of Bereshit of Jews. Right? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Paro, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Abimelech, they were not Jewish. So that speaking to man is a dargah. It's a state of being which is serious. But it doesn't mean that that's a very high state of being, that communication. But what is probably a very high state of being is Vayera. Vayera means that there was a perception of God that preceded the speech. It wasn't connected to the speech. So that Avram Avinu started out as Lech Lecha. That's how Avram Avinu started out. There was a directive that came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Avram Avinu. And as I have explained on different occasions, Avram Avinu was on his way to Canaan when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to go to Canaan. Which means to me that anything you do can be done reflecting the will of heaven, and it can be done in a non-willful of heaven manner. So Avram Avinu was given this opportunity to go to Eretz Canaan directed by God. Even though he was going to Eretz Canaan. And so the first lesson that Avraham Avinu had was that you can make things count in the eyes of God. And as I said, that's Chazal say that the Avot kept Kol HaTorah Kula. Now, how did they know that? Or why did they have to say that? I mean, what was missing in the Avot that you had to say they kept the Kol HaTorah Kula? In fact, Chazal say that they even kept mitzvot de Rabbanan, right, rabbinic injunctions that didn't exist in the Torah, Shebichdav. They were added on much later. So what that means is perhaps that the Avot was so finely tuned to the will of God that they were able to intuit things. Things that God certainly would want them to do. And that's what Chazal meant. Chazal meant they were, even though they hadn't received the Torah in a real manner, the Torah wasn't given to them at all. Nevertheless, somehow they skipped that stage. They could skip the Torah being given, and they could intuit what God would want in the world. Which is possible because, after all, you know that the Torah was given was put into the world years after the creation of the world, and it's strange that if the Torah is necessary, or is necessary for somebody to keep the mitzvot, then why didn't God give the Torah earlier? Certainly to Abraham, to Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And the answer may be, that they were able to keep the Torah without having received the Torah. That was the midah. That's what it meant to be one of the avot. So here the pasuk says that it's an event that's taking place when Abraham was 99 years old. Vayera Hashem el Abraham. And again, Avraham goes into, just in the first pasuk in Vayera, Vayera Elav Hashem, that Avraham became the person who was able to perceive the presence of God. Not just to hear it, but to perceive the presence of God when there was no message. Right? There was not yet a message. God didn't say anything to Avraham. And then the pasuk says, Vayomer Elav. First, Vayera Elav Hashem. And then Vayomer Elav, that first Avraham had this perception, because he was Avraham, and then there was a content, Vayomer Elav, and that's something that you hear, that Avraham Avinu is able to hear. What was it that Hashem said to Avraham? Ani kel Shaddai, et alech lefanai veyetamin. So, okay, there's two parts of the pasuk that demand some sort of explanation. Ani Kel Shaddai, like God tells him another name, and then because of A, he says it Alech Lefanai VeYetamim, as though if it's true, Shani Kel Shaddai, then certainly it Alech Lefanai VeYetamim. The thing that interests me about this pasuk is like, what's the message here? I mean, what exactly did God say to Avraham Avinu? You see, it gives him a directive. When God said, Lech Lecha, we all understand what that means. Go from A to B. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham Avinu, Talech Lefanai VeYetamim, what exactly was it that Hashem was demanding of Avraham Avinu? So if you look at the Rashi, let's skip the Ani Kel Shaddai part. Right, for the, well, let's skip it for now. Hitalech lefanai, hitalech lefanai, kitargumo, plach kodami. Plach means la'avod, like ritually, avoda. The things that you do when you are a servant of God. Plach kodami. Hadbeik b'avodati. Stick closely to my service, to the service of HaKadosh Baruch. That's what it says. That's what it says so it alech lefanai doesn't mean go before me, but it means go with me. Go with me, serve me, do what I want you to do. Ve'yetamim avzeh tzivui achar tzivui, Rashi says, this is a command that follows a command. You should be complete, perfect, with all of the tests that I will test you with. So this is a theme that exists in Chazal, that Avraham Avinu was not simply walking around in Eretz Canaan, but he was going through a series of tests. The first of the tests was Lech Lecha, and the last of the tests was Akedat Yitzchak. And Avraham was going through these tests, and of course he was successful in all of those things. And therefore, Rashi explains, Ve'yetamim, do them perfectly. Fulfill the tests as I would like you to fulfill them. Because after all, we know that Nisa et Avraham, when the pasuk says that God tested Avraham, it doesn't mean he tested him as because he didn't know that he would pass, but he tested him in order to that the entire world should know who Avraham Avinu was. And the only way to do that is like the word nes is a flag, like nisayon is a test, but there's another word in Hebrew, nun samach, which means lahalot al nes, to run up the flag. that everybody should see, everybody would see who Avraham Avinu says. But Rashi is not content with this interpretation of Vayetamim, that it means fulfill the tests in a perfect manner. He's not content with that. So he says, the Fi Medrasho, you know that Rashi was a Pashtan, which means that Rashi wants to tell you what the Pasuk says. So when Rashi says, Lefi Medrasho, he doesn't mean, I'll just give you a cute interpretation to make you feel good. He means, this is also what the Pasuk is really saying. That's how Rashi understands it. This is what the Pasuk is really saying. That he says, Lefi Medrasho, we know that right away, that immediately following, Avraham Avinu is going to get the mitzvah of milah, of circumcision. He's 99 years old. He's going to get that mitzvah. So he explains the pasuk, the medrash explains, the word tamim means whole, complete, without a blemish. How does that apply to milah, to the mitzvah of milah, which sounds like or looks like it's exactly the opposite? Like you make a blemish, you remove something, you do something to what should have been perfection, and you change it. But Rashi says no. Chekol's mancha arla becha atabal mum lefanai. That's how Kodesh Baruch Hu says that as long as you have the orla, the covering. Right, that is, as long as it's not removed, you are kebal mum lefanai. Exactly the opposite of what we think. That the mum is having an orla, and taking off the orla produces tamim, produces perfection in the created member, in the created person. Right, the person is created imperfectly, and the brit milah brings him to a state of perfection, right? That's what the Medrash says. So he, in this case, the word tamim means perfection. It doesn't mean completely or perfectly or any word like that, but it means perfect. Perfect. That there's an idea that when God created man, he created the man imperfectly so that perfection could be achieved by man himself. And man somehow has something to do with creation. God created everything, but man fixed it, changed it, added to it, did something that created perfection. And then he quotes another medrash, which is really like part of the same idea, davar acher, ve'yei tamim, that those words, ve'yei tamim, mean this, achshav, Atachaser chamisha evarim. Atachaser. I mean, it's hard to read this. What it means is Atachaser chamisha evarim. You're missing the fifth. You are missing the fifth limb there on your body. What are the limb? What are the four limbs? And what's the fifth limb? He says, Shtei einayim. Two, shtei oznayim. Two, v'rosh hagviya, and the orla, of the penis. She'osif licha ot v'rosh hagviya. In other words, that's what you're missing. What Chazal is saying is that the yetzer hara, right, the evil inclination, or the inclination to do the wrong thing, comes from your eyes, yes, and your ears, right? That's how it all starts. Virosh hagviya, and your sexual inclination. She'osif lecha ot al shimcha. I will add a letter to your name. V'yu minyan otiyotecha matayim v'arba'im u'shmone. Kiminyan Evarecha, that somehow your name, Avraham, if I translated into a numerical value, I get 248, right? So why was Avraham's name changed from Avram to Avraham? Don't tell me anything you know. But what Rashi says is that it changed in order that the numerical value of the name should be 248. And 248 is the number of limbs that you have in your body. And this indicates that somehow Avraham was able to get the Yetzer Hara under control. In other words, why was it that the Einayim and the Oznayim and the sexual drive was like uncontrollable to some extent? Well, because it wasn't finished. I mean, that's the Yetzer Hara. It's like God wanted man to complete creation, but God, by not completing creation, allowed the Yetzer Hara kind of free reign. But Avraham Avinu, this is what the Medrash says, Avraham Avinu was able to bring it under control. He was able to bring it under control, and he was going to be Tamim. How is he going to bring it under control? By completing the creation, by doing a Brit Milah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu honored Avram by changing his name to Avraham, which made the remez that he, Avraham, had the 248 limbs of his body under control. So that Ve'yetamim, the word Tamim, where Tamim is about the Yetzer Hara, according to Rashi. It's about the special case of Avraham, who got to Vayera Elav, before, by keeping everything under control. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Vayetamim, how are you going to be? How will I invest you with Tmimut? By commanding you to do the Brit Milah. If you do the Brit Milah, you come out to be Avraham Avinu. Okay? That's Rashi's interpretation of the Pasuk in our parasha. Now you know that in Dvarim, there's another Pasuk. If you look down on the sheet, it says, there's a Pasuk that says, Tamim tiyeh Hashem Elokecha. Tamim tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha. Now it's easy enough to say that the word Tamim is the same word. Right? This word Tamim and this word Tamim. Tamim tiyeh Hashem Elokecha. It sounds like it's the mitzvah of Milah. It could be the mitzvah of Milah. But we know that that's not quite the case. We know two things. One is that, as the Rambam says in the Perush HaMishnah, at the end of Masechet Chulin, he's right, it's also an explanation. You know, at the Brit Milah, the one who does the Milah, the father does the Milah, usually. So he makes a bracha, right? Hashem Kin Shav Zerach Tzivanu. It's got to be more, right? V'tzivanu lachniso bebrito shel Avraham Avinu. That's the bracha. That's a bracha. Right? There's another bracha, but that's one bracha. Now that bracha doesn't really make any sense, because you could argue it's true that Avraham Avinu was the first one who was commanded to do the mitzvah Brit Milah. But the Rambam points out that the reason we do the Brit Milah is not because Avraham Avinu was commanded. It's because at Har Sinai we were commanded to do a Brit Milah. And the Pasuk says, V'yom HaShmini Yimol B'sar Orlato. On the eighth day, the child is supposed to be circumcised. I mean, within certain kinds of exceptions. Right? So if I do the mitzvah Brit Milah, the proper bracha is the other bracha that we say, Hashem Kin Shav Zerach Tzivanu Al HaMilah, which usually the Moyel says. But why do we say Hashem Kin Shav Zerach Tzivanu Lachniso Bebrito Shel Avraham Avinu? We're not doing it because of Avraham Avinu. We're doing it because God told us at Har Sinai to do it. All the mitzvot in the Torah that we do actually come from Har Sinai. And comes Har Sinai. Okay, you could tell me about Puravu. I mean, I will sneak by that. So this pasuk, Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha, does not necessarily mean Brit Milah, because I have another pasuk that tells me about Brit Milah. B'yom HaShmini, Uva Yom HaShmini Yimol V'sar Orlatov. So Rashi says about Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha, Rashi says, Hitalech Imo B'tmimut. Hitalech Imo B'tmimut. You should go with God in a very simple way, in a way that is, there's a certain perfection. V'titzpelo, v'lo tachtor achrei ha'atidot. You'll look towards God, and don't think about the future. Don't make deals. Say the future has to be this way or that way. Ela kol ma sheyavo alecha ki kabel b'tmimut. He says, whatever happens, you have to believe. I mean, this was one of the primary issues that you see in the Torah. And that is called, God wants us again and again, tells us again and again, that we have to have faith in the promises. And in the Torah, that's called bitachon. That's called bitachon. It's not security, that kind of bitachon, but it is confidence that God will carry out His promise. Confidence, bitachon. And so God promised Abraham two things, that his children will become a great nation and that he will inherit the land. And in history, we know that there are times when that doesn't seem to be happening, or it seems to even be working in reverse. So tamim means you are absolutely certain about the promise. That's what tamim means. I'm absolutely certain about the promise. And tamim tiyem mishav lekach, what the Rashi means, that you have no doubt about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promise will be fulfilled. And the reality check is meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. There was this kind of disaster, and that kind of disaster, and this shake-up, and that change of pace. It doesn't matter. My faith is unshaken, and according to this Rashi, and this Rashi is what kept us going, right, for the last 2,000 years. I mean, we got up every day, no matter what was happening, and we said, we just kept saying it all the time. And it's unlikely that when you say something all the time, every day, three times a day, among many days, that it won't have an effect on you. I mean, that's what bitachon is. That's what bitachon is. There's nothing else. Faith in the promise that Hashem made to Avraham Avinu. And that promise is repeated to Yitzchak and to Yaakov, and it's part of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. It's just the background to everything. Background to the idea of faith. The idea of faith in the Torah is not faith that God exists, nor is it faith that God created the world. Those things are pretty much obvious, and even a little, the more sophisticated position as enunciated by the Ramban at the end of the Parsha of Bo, a little more sophisticated position about the God creating the world. But the real innovation that Avraham Avinu put into the world, the tmimut that Avraham Avinu put into the world, was, I believe that no matter what it looks like, God will fulfill the promise. That's what the Jews carried with them. And this same idea is expanded upon, like using more kinds of images in the Ramban. You see the Ramban? Tamim tiyem Hashem Elokecha, the Ramban towards the bottom. Sheniyached levaveinu elav levado. Right? We will give our hearts uniquely to God. Right? Levado, only. V'namin shelu levado sekol, that we believe that God created everything. V'ho yodeya amitat kol atid, and only God knows what's going to be in the future. U'mimenu levado nidrosh atidot, and only God will be able to inform us about the future. Mineviav, it'll come from prophets. Ome anshei chasidav ritzonei lomar urim v'tumim. Right, there are, it was the Torah enables us to know something about the future, but that's the only way that we can know those things. Either God will tell us, or the prophets will tell us, or the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah will tell us, or the Urim V'Tumim can tell us. V'lo nidrosh mihovarei shamayim, and we're not going to look at kind of people who are able to tell the future by looking at the stars, right, the mazalot. To looking at the constellation, v'lo mizulatam, not anybody else who does that kind of thing. V'lo niftach sheyavod divrehem al kol panim, and we won't accept the fact that what they say will certainly happen. Aval im nishma davar mehem, you know that the churban Beit Hamikdash Beit Rishon was on the. There was an argument, right? An argument between Yirmiyahu HaNavi and Hananya ben Azur. Right? Yirmiyahu HaNavi, I assume everybody heard of. Hananya ben Azur, you should hear of. So Hananya ben Azur was a Nevi Sheker. Was a Nevi Sheker. Now, Nevi Sheker is a very hard thing to define, because if somebody comes and says, I'm a Navi, I was a kid, it's true, this young fellow came to the yeshiva, and the yeshiva was just starting. The yeshiva I was involved in. The yeshiva was just starting. This guy comes to me and he says, look, I'm a Navi. Do you have a special class that I could attend? So, of course, my first thought was, this person should be put away. And I thought to myself, well, what if he's a Navi? What do I do then? So anyway, he looked pretty reasonable. You know, he had a backpack in those days. That was a sign of reasonableness. I asked him to show me, could you show me what your prophecies are like? He said, sure. He takes out a large notebook, you know, those spiral notebooks, and he turns pages, and he has drawings and pictures that he saw and words. I said, this is really serious. So I said, but you know that the Torah says that even if there is a prophet who is truly able to prophesy, but he's not in line with the Torah, you don't listen to him. In fact, you do a lot of other things that are not so healthy, I said to him. So he says, what should you do? I said, go to yeshiva, which is what I said to everybody in those days. So I said, go to yeshiva. So he said, I haven't got the strength with it. I'm too busy getting these prophecies. So he said, then I suggest you go to another place. So he did. But you see, prophecy, according to the Ramban, according to Chazal, back to Hananya ben Azur, right? There was a disagreement between Yirmiyahu HaNavi and Hananya ben Azur. Yirmiyahu HaNavi said 50 years, that the exile will be 50 years in duration. So 50 years in those days, when people lived to be about 30, that sounded like a pretty long time. So along came Hananya ben Azur, and he said, no, it'll only be about 2 years. Everybody liked that. So they said, you know, I take this Navi over that Navi. You know, poor Yirmiyahu. You know, Yirmiyahu was a Navi for a long, long time. And the only thing you can say about him was that no one ever listened to him, ever. Nothing that he ever said had any impact. And things got worse and worse and worse, even though he was in the Nevi Emet. Now, Hananya ben Azur is called the Nevi Sheker. Why is he called the Nevi Sheker? How do you become a Nevi Sheker? Again, if somebody comes and says, I'm a Navi, so you say, this is the way to the psychiatric ward, right? You don't say, well, you know, I mean, I was like, trying to get the boost the number of students in the yeshiva, but everybody else would have sent him to the psychiatric ward right away. So why was Hananya ben Azur listened to? So the Gemara says, at the end of Sanhedrin, the Gemara says, Hananya ben Azur was a Nevi Emet, And was he was able to prove, as the Torah said, you know, you prove by doing a miracle or by predicting that something will happen. So Hananiah ben Azur was able to do that. And then for some reason, he cracked. And he became a Nevi Sheker. He didn't get, wanted whatever Yirmiyahu HaNavi had. So he lied about what was going to be. He said it would only be 2 years. So the Chazal said, there could be a Navi. There could be somebody who knows some fraction of the truth, who is able to convince you even that he's special. But don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. That's what the Ramban said. Again, he said, Lo nidrosh bihovrei shamayim, v'lo mizulatam, v'lo niftach, the first wide line in the Ramban, v'lo niftach sheyavo divreihem al kol panim, right? We should not believe that whatever they say is going to happen. Aval im nishma davar mehem, nemar kol v'yedei shamayim. But if something that they say actually takes place, so we say, but that's, you know, that's Akol Bidei Shemayim, that was the heavenly dictate. Kihu Elokei Halukim, Elyon Alakol, Yechol B'chol Mishnah, Merachot, HaKochavim, V'amazalot, Kiritzono, Mefer, Otot, Badim, V'kosmim, Yolam. So you see that the Ramban says, even if there are all kinds of strange things in the world, and all kinds of people who seem to attract others into thinking that they have some special talent. Even my opinion is that there are no such people. There are no such people. There are people who could play the piano, and there are people who could play the violin, but there aren't people who could tell me what's going to happen tomorrow, except for the weather people who could tell me what's going to happen for the next 5 days. But if a weatherman tells you he knows what's going to happen in 10 days, you don't have to believe it. You don't have to believe it. This whole thing was an issue. This was an issue. You see it in the Torah. It's called Avodah Zarah. It's called Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah does not mean necessarily that you're running around and singing and dancing with a cow. That's not necessarily what Avodah Zarah is. Avodah Zarah is you attribute the powers of God to something else. And which power was especially attributable to something else? The future. The future. God knows the future. Well, maybe some other person or some other idea or some other way of looking at it also knows the future. That's Avodah Zarah. And if there are people in Israel today, I mean, I don't know about other places. Well, no, I was just in Russia. In Russia, they got loads of these people. Wherever you go, there's somebody who's happy to tell you the future. And if you pay a little money, they'll do it with all kinds of gizmos and gimmicks and things like that. So if you find somebody who's willing to tell you what's going to be, run. Because they don't know. They're just telling you. So this is the Ramban. And this is Rashi. So both Rashi and the Ramban agree about the Pasuk in Dvarim. About the Pasuk in Dvarim. Tamim tiyem Hashem Elokecha means you should never try to second guess God. You should never try to figure out that there's injustice in the world that God is not dealing with. Right? You should not try to do that. And you should not try to claim that the future can be discerned in another way without using divinely inspired material. So you see that the word tamim has two meanings, both according to Rashi and according to the Ramban. I didn't learn that other Ramban yet. Well, we have time, we'll look at it. But there is this idea of tmimut beguf. There is an idea of tmimut beguf, and there's an idea of tmimut be'emunah. There's an idea of tmimut be'emunah, and everybody has this problem. Everybody wants it to be good. Everybody wants to get an edge. Everybody wants to be able to know what stocks are going to rise and which stocks are going to fall. And you know very well that even the people who did well last year might not do so well this year. And therefore, you can't second guess the future. The future belongs to God. That's the whole idea of the Pasuk in Dvarim. Also, I want to show you that a further reason to say that we do the Brit Milah. We do the Brit Milah because it's a mitzvah in the Torah, and not necessarily because Avraham Avinu did it, even though I haven't explained why we say the bracha, right? So we'll leave that out for a minute. So listen, Avraham Avinu was how old when he was circumcised? He was 99 years old. Avraham Avinu, before he was circumcised, achieved a level of perfect faith. Of perfect faith. How do I know that? Because it says, Vayera Elav Hashem. And that's what Vayera Elav Hashem means. Like when we do the mitzvah of Mila, we do the opposite. We do the Shleimut of the body before the person achieves Shleimut of Emunah. Because we circumcise the child, and this is only in the Pasuk that we were referring to, only in the Pasuk that says, do the mitzvah of Milah, does it say, B'yom HaShmini, Yimov Zav, which is a big Chiddush. Which is a big Chiddush, because we know that Yishmael laughed at Yitzchak, because Yishmael said, I was circumcised when I was 13, and you were circumcised when you were 8 days old. Ha ha! Anybody can do a mitzvah when they're 8 days old. Nobody knows what's happening. When you do it when you're 13 years old, then you are kind of really involved in improving things and changing things and making things. And therefore, Rashi says, you have Akedat Yitzchak, to prove that, okay, Yishmael, it's true, Yishmael suffered the Brit Milah to some extent. But you see that Yitzchak was willing to sacrifice everything, was to allow himself to be killed. He was willing to allow himself to be killed by a Kaddish Baruch. So again, Avraham Avinu got to the level of Vayera Elav Hashem before perfection in his body. And perfection in his body meant that the Yetzer Hara, according to Rashi, the Yetzer Hara was so much under control that he didn't have to think about it. He didn't have to worry about his eyes. He didn't have to worry about his ears. He didn't have to worry about his sexual drive, because it was all under control for Avraham Avinu. So Vayera Elav Hashem before Vayetamim, right? Vayetamim. The mitzvah, however, is the reverse. The mitzvah is the reverse. The mitzvah says B'yom HaShmini, take care of the imperfection. I mean, your eyes are not doing anything, your ears are not doing anything, there's no sexual drive, take care of the imperfection of the body, and then tamim tiyem Hashem Elokecha, work at it. Work at getting to the Vayera Elav Hashem of Avraham Avinu. That's what the psukim say. Now, look at the Shem Yishmuel, the bottom of the page. Shem Yishmuel, Parashat Lech Lecha. Why is it Lech Lecha, basically? V'nireh, you see it? You see it, those who are looking at the text? V'nireh, d'hineh b'parashat Milah, ne'emar la'Avraham Avinu, alav ha'shalom, hitalech lefanai ve'yetamim. Right, we learned that pasuk. That's the pasuk we just saw. Mashma, sha'ad ko lo ha'yetamim. So he says, if God says to Avraham Avinu, ha'yetamim, become tamim, so that means he's not yet tamim. He's not yet tamim. Af achar kol tzidkotav u'misurut ha-nefesh al kiddush Hashem. You mean that Avraham Avinu, you know, he's like a righteous man, a tzaddik, a real tzaddik, not a professional tzaddik, a real tzaddik. He understood everything. Even though he's not usually described as a philosopher, but he could be. You know, the Rambam loved Avraham Avinu. Rambam, Avraham Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu are the two great heroes of Jewish history. The Rambam loved him. Avraham Oavi, the Pasuk says in Yishayahu. The Rambam thought that that was the case. That he was beloved of God, meaning that he was able to love God. He was able to perform the mitzvot of Yirat Hashem and Ahavat Hashem. So he says he was Moser Nefesh. He gave, he was willing to give up his own life, Al Kiddush Hashem. You know, he let Nimrod throw him into the den of to the fire or the lions or whichever way it is. Vim hu lo haya tamim ad kov, mi yikaveh liyot tamim. And if in fact that's the pshat in the pasuk, that here's Avraham Avinu, he's 99 years old, he's done the best that anybody could do, and his relationship to Kadosh Baruch Hu is unique, vayera elav Hashem. So that means nobody could do it. If he couldn't do it, if he, Avraham Avinu, couldn't become tamim, so who can become tamim? Ba'alo mikram aleihu. So the Shem Shmuel says, but we know there's a pasuk in Devarim, and the pasuk says tamim diyeh Hashem elokecha. So how could that be? How could it be that this pasuk tells me, this pasuk in our parsha tells me that Avraham Avinu couldn't do it, and then in the pasuk in Devarim there's a mitzvah tamim diyeh Hashem elokecha. I mean, we're very democratic, you know. Mitzvahs generally apply to everybody democratically. Maybe not. So. But a lot of mitzvahs apply democratically to everybody, right? A lot of mitzvahs. So, but this mitzvah, the Shem Shmuel says, how could there be such a mitzvah? How could it be that we say that Avraham Avinu couldn't do it? Now, all of you go and do it. That seems a little unreasonable. Hare, ki kol ish mi Yisrael yechol liyot tamim, like a question mark. So, like everybody's going to have this command, tamim tiyeh Hashem elokecha. V'nereh ha-peirush. Here you see, the Shem Shmuel has an idea. He's got to like work this out. He says, "Dinei Avraham midato chesed kav yamin." You know that the Sfirot. You don't have to understand what I'm about to say. You just remember it. That there are seven Sfirot that connect the upper three Sfirot with reality. Chesed, Gvura, Teferes, Netzach, Hod, Yisod, Malchut. Now these Sfirot have different names. They have different names. One set of names is the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, Hashem, Elohim, Hashem Elohim. They have those kinds of names. They're also divided into Yamin and Smol. Like if you think of yourself looking at the picture of picture of a very healthy person. So that person has a right arm, a left arm, a right leg, a left leg, right. So there's a right and a left. So the Kabbalist also somehow saw that there was a right and a left emanating from God, and they usually depicted it in that way. I mean, we don't go for that. But it's there. So here the Shem Shmuel, who did go for that, who was certainly a Kabbalist, he said, Amridato Chesed. So the first of the seven lower Sfirot is Chesed, the second is Gvura, and the third is Tiferet. Like, think of it as a triangle, right? Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet. So Chesed is Avraham. Chesed is Avraham because he did Chesed. So it doesn't mean that it doesn't mean he did a chesed. It means he created a situation in which chesed was necessary. But he didn't just do a nice thing. He created the world which has to have chesed. That's what Avraham Avinu did. So chesed, mido chesed kav yamin, he's to the right, on the right side. V'yadua ki smol dochev yamin mekarevet. Everybody knows that. This is even the line in the Gemara, and it means that smol dochev. Now this is yamin. Smol dochev v'yamin mekarevet. Right? You know, it's like in this setup, there's also an underlying smol yamin, so that the midot of chesed, word, verse, netzach, hod, yisrael can be divided up also between those that push you away and those that bring you close. Why is that important? Avraham haita midato lekarev kol ba'ei olam. Avraham, he's the one who brought together all ba'ei olam. He wanted everybody to come. V'lo litchot ulirachek. He did not want to push anybody away. Right? The Chazal say on the Pasuk Vayita Eshel Biver Shava that Avram Avinu planted an Eshel. Eshel, Chazal say, mean like an inn. He built an inn in the middle of nowhere. And he invited everybody to come in and to eat. Right? And then after they finished eating, he asked them to bench. I don't know what the nusach of benching was, but he asked them to bench. So that's Avram Avinu, l'karev, kol ba'ei olam, v'lo litchok ulirachek. This was Avram of his nature. His nature was to bring everybody in, or to try to bring everybody in, feed them, and get them to bench. If you don't see the comparison to Chabad, you're not wide awake yet. So this is Avram Avinu. This is Avram Avinu. Now, mikol makom, shleimut ha'adam sheyubo kol hamidot yachdav. He says, but that's not good enough. It's true that Avram Avinu brought everybody in, but you need shleimut hamidot. You need a certain kind of perfection. And what does that perfection mean? What does it mean to have that kind of perfection? That you know when to bring people in and you know when to push them away. Because that's who you are. You're a puller and a pusher. That should be who you are. So Avram Avinu was only the one, only pulling people in. He wasn't pushing anybody out. So the Shem Yishmuel says, Avram Aita Midadoli Karev Kobo Ba'e Olam, the fourth line. V'lo litchot ulirachek, mikol makom, shleimut ha'adam sheyubo, the fifth line, kol ha'midot yachdav. That you have to have everything. You have to have chesed, gevura, tiferes, netzach, all of the midot belong to every single person. It's another way of understanding how divine attributes got into human behavior. V'makom shetzerich likarev yikarev, v'makom shetzerich lirachek yirachek. That's perfection. Perfection is not that you let everybody in. Perfection is that you know when to let them in and when to push them away. Because that's the yamin and the smol, the Shem Yishmuel says. Getting back to our psukim, he says, Az nikra adam shalem, v'hi madrigat tamim, ke betargum tamim shalim. Val kein, three lines from the bottom. The fifth word, fourth word. Al kein Avram Avinu olav shalom al ad hamila shehaya inyano tamid likarev v'lo rechek adayin lo nikra tamim. And he says, therefore, Avram Avinu was not called tamim until the mitzvah of mila, which is what happens in our pasuk, right? The continuation of our pasuk, the mitzvah of mila. Adayin lo nikra tamim. Next to the last line, at the end of the line, Ad mitzvat mila, shehu inyan dichui psolet. Because what mila is, and this appears several times in the Chumash, this idea, in different ways, like it says, psolecha. HaKadosh Baruch said to Avram Avinu, psolecha. The Chazal say, what did he do with the bits of stone? That, you know, when you cut out a stone and you make it into, he brought up these luchot to heaven, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he had to shape them. When he shaped them, he had like a chat to chisel them out. You chisel it out, you get little pieces of stone. So that the receiving of the Torah had to come with the getting rid of something that was extra. The same thing is true about the Brit Milah. The Brit Milah is psolet. What you end up with, something that you bury, that you get rid of it. So he says, Shehu Inyan Mila, next to the last line. The first word, Shehu Inyan Dichui Psolet. You're getting rid of something that you don't need. You're sending it away, you're pushing it away. Below the Karev, Ulachniole Kedusha, not to force the Psolet to become part of the system of Kedusha, of sanctity. Ela litchot legamri, to get rid of it, to get rid of it entirely. V'zeh smol doche, and that smol doche, in other words, Avram Avinu, in this pasuk, achieved two wondrous levels, according to Shem and Shmuel. First, Vayera Elav Hashem, which meant that he had this special relationship or awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And also, because of that awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he couldn't help himself. Every place he went, he said, come in, listen to me, take my ideas, take it for free, I'm not going to charge you. The whole thing, all I want you to do is thank God for the food that you're eating. That was Avraham Avinu. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, it's halek lefonai v'yet tamim. There's something missing in you. You're not tamim because you didn't get rid of that solet which enables you, which will then enable you to distinguish between the people that you should be in the holy language of modern Hebrew, makariv, like makariv people, and you also doche other people. You know that for some people it doesn't make any sense. Right, that Avraham Avinu learned that Lot was a lost cause. I mean, he could make him a better Lot, but he couldn't make him into an Avraham Avinu. He couldn't change Lot to become an Avraham Avinu. So Avraham Avinu's shalem, his shleimut, is this combination of knowing when to bring in the people, which was his nature, but also to recognize that in the world there's solet which he would have to push away, so that the model for Mila, the model for Bris Mila, is that a person comes to an awareness that he can't live without Bris Mila. That's the model. But we don't have, the Torah couldn't trust us that we would be able to fulfill that kind of a mitzvah. You know, when you get to it, you feel that you need it, you'll be circumcised. So the Torah said, every child, let's get it out of the way. Let's get it out of the way. And therefore, every child, if he grows up and gets to the level of Emunah, which is described by Vayera Elav Hashem, whatever that might mean for the individual. I mean, I assume that Emunah is not something that is marketable like a math equation, and that so that's Avraham Avinu. When we say Hashem Lachniso Bebriso Shel Avraham Avinu at the Mila, at the Bris Mila, so it's according to the Shem Mishmuel. It's like, in spite of the fact that I'm doing the mitzvah because the Torah tells me to do the mitzvah, that's the reason I'm doing it. Nevertheless, I have in mind that when Avraham Avinu did the mitzvah, there was a kind of shleimut, a kind of perfection that was involved. And that perfection is your doche, you push away what should not be taken in because it would have a bad influence on the situation. And you are mekarev, you bring in whatever you think will benefit from your attempts at kirva. I think I said it on Shabbos, Friday night. I think it's correct that Chabad has managed to do that. I'm not saying that Chabad is perfect. I didn't say that. I'm just saying Chabad, they wear funny clothing, which is doche. Like, you know, you see, these guys don't look like anybody I want to talk to. On the other hand, even though they wear the funny clothes, they're able to connect to a wide variety of people in a substantial way, which I think is rather remarkable. Rather remarkable. But everybody else, they're uniforms. You know, the more you have a uniform, the less you want to interact with people who don't wear that uniform. Which, again, it's like it has a good part to it, and it has a less good part to it. And you should not be satisfied with the uniform alone, but you should also insist that the uniform is not going to stop you from doing good. Right? So this is, we all kind of adopt, more or less, adopt uniforms. Okay, have a good Shabbos.